The second scripture is from Romans. Paul, who had a different idea about the church, his idea was that it should be for Gentiles as well as Jews and should be taken throughout the then known world. And it comes from Romans, which was his kind of, people say it was his summa, you know, his big theological doctrine. But this is theological, but boy, it's really right on. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth or anything else in all creation, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God add a blessing to the hearing and the understanding of this word. Since the last couple of weeks, timing has been a little strange. I kind of did three little pieces, so I could not do one if need be. Okay. The first piece is the Old Testament scripture. Along the way, Moses was leading the people, of course, the people of Israel through the desert, leading them toward this promised land. And along the way, God told him that he would see it, but he was not going to make it. He wasn't going to actually get there. Now, as a leader, I think that could be devastating to know that, you know, yeah, you were going to get the people there, but you were going to be denied being there when it happened. And yet Moses kept on keeping on. He kept leading the people because he knew that was his task. That was what God wanted of him. And so the story that we heard this morning, I think, is one of the saddest pieces of scripture, because it speaks of him there on Mount Horeb, seeing the promised land, and then he died there and was buried there. Sometimes even the best ideas and even the best leadership leads to things that happen after we are no longer part of it. And so that's when one of the things about that is that when we give to the church or when we invest our time in trying to work and make things better, much of it may be investing in a future that we'll never see. But that's okay, because God wants us, leads us to be the church. And sometimes we're not, but we know that those who come after will enjoy the results of what we have done. That's part one. Part two is a story of a church with faith. And it's a true story. There was a church that had gathered and was meeting in a storefront. And they met for some time in the storefront, and then somebody said, well, what about a building someday? And they talked about it, but they decided that they were going to be committed more to mission. In this case, particularly foreign mission. And so they resisted having a building fund. And they invested their money in missions in places that you or I never will ever see. But time went on, and that commitment to serving others was good. And it helped the church to grow. And pretty soon they were straining at the straining at the edges of their storefront space. And they said, we think we need to have a building. So here they are, wanting a building, no building fund. And they went out and they found some property, and they were just thinking about how they were going to raise some money to buy the property. And one of the members said, you know, this church has been really good to me. I'd like to buy the property for the church. Is it a one-off? Maybe. But their faithfulness to their mission, which they probably thought meant they would never have a building, God's making a way where there seemed to be no way. Part two. Part three. One of the things that a couple of things that Luther really stressed was salvation through faith. There was nothing you could do. There was nothing you had to do that could gain you a proper relationship with God. You couldn't earn your way in. No way. Now, he was dealing with a church at the time which stressed works, doing good things as the way to get to heaven, the way to be in the good graces of God. And so that was one of the things he was reacting against. And his work was hard because it was at first like him against the world. Now, shortly after he started this movement, several other reformers came on the scene: John Calvin, Ulrich Zwingli, and others. But there are five scriptures that are said to have really kind of defined Luther's concern. And I share them with you because I think as a church, we need to hear these. And if we adopt these ourselves and keep them in our minds, we will know what it is that we have to offer to people who aren't here and what we have to offer to each other. Okay. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Grace it is that brings us, you know, the gift of faith. Nothing we can do, nothing we have to do to earn that. This was a key belief of all the reformers. Second, for in Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. So Luther didn't assume that people of faith wouldn't do things. Okay? He didn't. He assumed, as did Paul, that if you were saved, you would want to live the life that Christ wanted of you. That would just be like B following A. You know. Now, Luther was not did not take kindly to things in the scripture that pushed works first. Book of James, for example, he thought it ought to be pulled out of the Bible. He called it an epistle of straw because it stressed good works. Okay? But it's not a matter of works or faith. It's a matter of both, but faith is more important. Faith comes first. Okay. The one who is righteous will live by faith. Number three, 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This was really hard in the completely Catholic world of the day, because of course there was this priesthood. And here comes Luther saying, everybody's a priest. You are a priest. The priest has a conduit to God, if you will. And Luther and the Reformers said, that doesn't just have to come through a person, a specified person. That comes from each of us. We are all a holy priesthood. Each individual of faith is a priest in the eyes of God. 4. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Sola scriptura was the Latin term, because they, even though he was German, he did a lot in Latin. Only scripture. He claimed that only things that were in scripture were viable as parts of our Christian journey in life and faith. At the time, the scripture was mediated through the church, because no one else, you know, the folks in the church couldn't read. They couldn't read. They couldn't, you know, they were uneducated. And so the priests, whatever the magisterium, the church told them, was what things were. And Martin says, no, that's not the way. We have to put the scripture in the hands of the people. And God was good, because it was just about this time that Gutenberg invented the movable type printing press, without which the Bible could not have been put in the hands of the people. So here you go. Was it a miracle? I don't know. It was at least a happy instance. He doesn't say scripture is inerrant. He doesn't say that it is literal. He said that it's good for learning and for teaching and for training and for correction. Scripture is very important. And finally, Matthew 11, 29 to 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Luther and the Reformers believed that the church was putting huge burdens on people in terms of what they had to do, what they had to be to find God. And so they pointed to verses like this one to remind the Christians that the gospel of Christ is meant to free people from guilt and sin. So how does that play out here today? Well, in the church, we remind people that no matter who you are or where you are on your faith journey, or if you're not on the faith journey at all, you're welcome here. because we will try to help you find faith. We will not try to tell you what you have to do to get faith. We will help you find faith, and we will help you find ways to live that faith out. And that's why we want more people to come. That's why we want visitors, just because we want to share with them. You know, we sometimes get thinking about numbers and money and all that, but it's really that we have a message to share. The message from Romans 8, nothing that you can do, nothing that happens to you, nothing in the world can separate you from the love of God in Christ. Nothing can separate you. And that message is the message of acceptance, and the message of tolerance is not a message that we get much outside of the church. And so the church absolutely has to be here and absolutely has to preach and teach and lead people in those ways and offer up the things that will make for faith. So, disjointed. Yep, sorry. Reformation Sunday is more the United Church of Christ. Brief history, there are four denominations that came together to form the United Church of Christ. Three of those are directly descended, one from Luther, one from Calvin, and one from Zwingli. Okay. And the other one was an American kind of an American thing that happened in Kentucky and Tennessee, because they were tired of getting priests, ministers, and bishops from back east. They wanted to have their own church, and so they really implemented this, listening to God themselves and being the church themselves. The church is worth having. It's worth coming. If it's not, have an idea and get it fixed. And it's worth supporting. Amen.